guest. Anyway, we're just joined now by Niall Hatch. How are you, Niall?
I'm very good, Derek. How are you?
You were out on Gaelic Michael during the week, I believe?
It was my very first time. I've been in a boat around.
Your what?
Yes, my very first time out there, yeah. So I've been around it in a boat before, but when I went out a couple of years ago, the weather was too bad to allow a landing, which is often the case. But this time the weather was absolutely perfect, so I got to climb up the 618 steps right up to the monastic settlement, and it's breathtaking, I have to say.
Did you meet anybody interesting out there?
I did. Well, I met lots of puffins, which was amazing, but I met a very interesting human as well, in the form of the OPW guide there, Catherine Merrigan, who's been working out on Skellig, showing people the birds and explaining about the history of the monastery there for 25 years. So she's a lady who knows her stuff.
Good morning, folks. How are you all?
Good.
Welcome on board. My name is Alan. Skipper's name is David. So obviously we're leaving now. We'll be about 50 minutes travelling out to the rock.
Hello there, my name's Catherine Merrigan. I'm here on Skellig Michael and I've been working here for the last 25 years as a caretaker guide, but my main thing is looking after the puffins. But I probably shouldn't say that, you know, to OPW, but my passion is really the nature of the island and all the birds that live here.
We're standing right now in the middle of the monastic settlement here in Skellig Michael. What a view, what a spectacular place. Birds all around us. The whole landscape is just otherworldly. It's probably the most unique place I've been in many years. It's wonderful. What a great place for you to live.
Oh my goodness, well it is. It's like there's nowhere like it. I've travelled all over the world. I've been coming back to the Skelligs every summer. Come here in May until October. 2 weeks on, we live here on the island for the summer. We do 2 weeks on and a week off. But there is nowhere like this. I mean, where would you get 8,000 puffins as your neighbours living among the puffins? I wrote a book called Living Among the Puffins, by the way, because I'm obsessed with the puffins.
And I can see that so many of the tourists coming here are as well, because walking up from the docking area on those 600 plus steps, the amount of oohs and ahs I heard from people on the way up, the puffins are just standing right there, don't seem perturbed by the people at all, and it's very good. I must admit some of those oohs and ahs came from me, because I love puffins too, and actually have to be at the chance to see them up so close, so personal. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, where would you get that? What's funny is that people arrive on the island and they're walking from the pier and they see about five puffins. And then I have to go down and remind them, there's 8,000 more up top, so you don't have to take all the photographs there. Yeah, and so we live here on the island, and they, believe it or not, when I open my door sometimes in the mornings, this time of year, the heart of the nesting season, some of the puffins walk into my cabin under my bed. They're just like wandering around, you know, for something to do, just checking out different spots.
So your book title was literal.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, seriously, where our huts are, there's a colony of puffins there, and they're like on the wall, underneath the cabin. They live literally, they nest underneath the cabin. So we go to sleep to the sound of pufflings, the chicks calling out for food the whole night, and they wander in and out. It's amazing, yeah.
The monks who came here, I heard your presentation earlier talking about them. The monks who came here, they were looking for solitude. They were looking to get away from the world, somewhere very remote. Mm-hmm. That's the attraction for the puffins as well.
It probably is, yeah. They feel safe here, you know. I mean, they do have some predators, of course, you know, but there's the black-back gulls, of course. But this, like, where would you? This is a perfect spot, you know. They have spaces to burrow. And there's new burrows every year. I mean, especially this year. My goodness, I'm finding burrows that did not exist in the last couple of years, you know. So it's getting fuller. Thank goodness, we need more puffins in this crazy world.
The puffins, they're on full view today. There are lots of them around, seeing thousands of them about. It's not always the case. They're not always showy, are they?
No, I tell you, it's just some days people can come here, not a puffin in sight, because some days they literally go out fishing. And then other days, like today, you're very lucky, by the way, to arrive and most of the puffins are here, you know. But there is now, at the moment now, there's chicks in most of the burrows, you know. So the chicks are hidden deep in the burrows, so you rarely see them. You might see them on the way up now. I did get to see about three. I know where to look, you know, so I saw about three or four pufflings, by the way. So there's days. And, over the last 25 years, mad, I can't believe that I've worked for 25 years here. I'm always out and about looking at looking at the puffins and around them, and there's no pattern. There is no pattern why they go out for the day or why they come back. You know, it's just just like random.
And we've been watching some of them flying in with all those little fish in their beak. Yeah. It is true, they do carry all these dozens of little fish in the beak back to the little pufflings.
Yeah, and these days, yeah, there's been, you know, we've had a few scientists here the last couple of days, and they've put monitors on them, you know, and some of them go way out for fishing. So we have to be careful with the sprats, you know, because sprat fishing now has gone a little bit of out of control. And when they go fishing, they have to go quite far away, you know. Some days they get lucky and they don't have to go so far away. And that could be why they do leave for a day or two. You know, those last week, they didn't come back for 24 hours. I was getting worried, you know, probably because the sprats were gone too far out, you know, and that's very problematic, you know, for their chicks. They dive very, very deep for the sprats, and they can carry, like, from far away, they carry all these sprats back to their young, or, you know, the sand eels, the small sand eels. Yeah, and they really can hold them in their beaks. It's really incredible.
Of course, it is a red listed species. It's a species in decline, and we know that global populations are really in free fall. So places like Skellig here are really important for the future of this species.
Very much so. And luckily, over the years, you know, we've had a couple of years where they haven't done so well, but really they're doing incredibly well, mostly here, compared to a lot of different places around Scotland and things like that. So
looking around, we're standing right amongst these wonderful beehive huts that the monks lived in and prayed in, and it's just, to actually be here and to sense this, it's absolutely incredible. It's amazing to see it. But I walked into one of the huts, and then as my eyes were adjusting, I realised there's something down there in the corner, and I realised it's a Manx shearwater just right there on the floor. So I backed away and gave it its space, but they nest here as well, right in the huts.
Oh my goodness, yes, every single year. These, like the puffins go back to the same burrow every year, to the same partner, by the way, and exactly the same with the shearwaters. The Manx shearwaters come back again to the same burrow. So every year there's four of these beehive huts that these shearwaters come back, and they're literally there for the whole summer, because like the puffins are here, you know, from, say, they come in April and they're here until the first week in August. But the shearwaters, it takes them a long time. They lay their egg and they're sitting there the whole summer long till the end of September. And then their chick just about is ready to go. Yeah, so in about four of the beehive huts here. So we look after them. So I've put rocks around their nesting sites just to protect them from feet, you know. And anybody that's downstairs, I always say, please just tell them to be really careful, you know, not to shine lights on them. Yeah, they're beautiful creatures.
I walked into one of the beehive huts and I noticed an unusual smell. It was kind of a musty kind of smell, not unpleasant, but just kind of unusual. I was thinking, oh, hang on, is that storm petrels?
Oh yes, our little storm petrels. They're everywhere. You hear them in the sounds. You might even hear them now, I'm not sure, because they're everywhere in the beehive huts. So at night, I mean, I come up here every night for the sunset, and as I'm walking down the steps, the puffins are starting to get a little bit quieter. They're going into their holes, their burrows, and then the storm petrels, they're coming out. And up here, they're like little bats flying around everywhere. There, we've lots of storm petrels, yeah. They're so beautiful. And sometimes when you're walking down the steps, they fly into your face.
Your office is the best office I've ever seen in my whole life. You're very, very lucky, Catherine. Thank you for your time. Thank you for showing me around. It's just a magical location. Everybody should see this for themselves.
Definitely. Skellig Michael is unique, and it is not a bad office. And I live in the Dingle Peninsula, and believe it or not, from my home I can see the Skellig, so I'm always either in the office or looking at it.
Ah, look at you, Niall, having a fantastic time on Skellig Michael. Thank you very much indeed, Catherine Merrigan. We must have Catherine on again in the future.